Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
Darren, do you still think people are doubting whether Dominic Mysterio is a main event wrestler for WWE? He just main evented Raw.
I mean, that's a good point. And I will say this. I mean, he wasn't out of place. I can't see a lot of people complaining. There was a day when that would have absolutely happened where Dominic is main event at Raw. But, I mean, he's a Raw main eventer. It did not look out of place. I mean, who would have thought?
I know.
A year ago.
And what's equally amazing is not only didn't he look out of place, but they protected him. They had Priest run in. They didn't want him to lose to Seth Rollins, your world champion. And they're protecting Dom Dom from losing to him clean by having Priest interfere and get DQ'd. I love it. Dominic is it's like the success story for how WWE promotes wrestling. And, you know, I mean, this is not to disparage the great, great, great wrestlers who can run laps around Dominic in terms of work rate and how important that is to us being fans and loving pro wrestling. But there's room for Dominic, too. This just heat magnet who plays his part so well. He is unnatural at being this annoying pest that you want to see get beat up. And then he gets in the ring, and he's taking great bumps. He's selling chops to that old Roman Reigns chest guard he wears. He's like, he's doing the little stuff. He's annoying. You're watching the crowd, and the crowd knows what pro wrestling's all about, but you get wrapped up in what Dominic's doing, and you're booing him, and you want to see him get his, you know, get humiliated and get what he's got coming. So, yeah, Seth played the part well. It's sort of a holiday edition of Raw. They're not, you know, probably would have been a, I don't know, maybe not. I shouldn't even say it. Maybe it would have been a different show if it was July 8th. You know, or July 1st, but it's the eve of the 4th of July. It's kind of like a 4-day weekend here in the United States in some ways. I didn't have today off from work, but that's on me because I'm my own boss. And wrestling never stops. But you look at Dominic headlining an episode and you're like, well, that's not a big, big show, right? But it kind of is. Like, that worked. And it was obviously a placeholder for two other things that happened, establishing Damian Priest as Money in the Bank holder. Has this chance to cash in now, and here's an example of when he might, and then forward the dissension between Finn Balor and Priest when Balor ran out, attacked Seth, and perhaps inadvertently, but maybe in a way that that's not an excuse because it still happened. He knocked Seth into Priest and not Priest out of the ring and unable to follow up on his momentum to try to cash in and win the title. And then they Priest and Balor arguing afterwards. So, you can talk more about Dominic if you want, but also talk about the Priest-Balor dynamic and what you think is going on. If you read anything into the dynamic between those two and where it's heading, because, I mean, there's been little hints of Priest being a little more honorable in the way he does things a little bit or how he reacts in promos over the last month. But then there'll be other things that offset that and make you think you're reading too much into it or they change their mind. But I think Priest would be the babyface in this. But then when he won Money in the Bank, it's like, well, it's hard to be a babyface Money in the Bank holder and cash in on a champion who just went through a grueling match and have fans cheer that. So I don't really know. What do you think?
First of all, yeah, I kind of expected kind of a phoned-in addition coming off of a pay-per-view, plus they had to fly and you had, like, the jet lag factor. But they put on a pretty decent show and had their main heat-getter in the main event. And Mysterio proved that he belongs, and a nice touch, as you pointed out, not making him do two jobs in a row, which would not have been a good idea with, you know, you don't want to have him as like the designated jobber with all the heat that he gets. So I'm glad that they did protect him, which just, again, who would have thought? But going back to the Finn Balor, Damian Priest dynamic, I'm still sure that Damian's on the going the baby face route, because if you notice, even when he was getting ready to cash in, he hesitated a little bit, and Dom had to try to kind of talk him into it a little bit.
Yep.
And it was like, I don't want to this way. So there's a little bit, they're doing little subtle touches that showing that, yeah, he's changed. He's got kind of a conscience, and I like where they're headed with that. And I don't think that they've necessarily reached the end of the Finn-Seth feud, which is fine with me because they've been having some good matches, and it's really brought out the best in Finn as of late. So that feud has a little bit of legs left, and you can segue into if they do want to split off Damian, you can go that route still. So plenty left in that feud for Seth and Finn.
What do you think they do with Damian Priest, though? If he is leaning babyface, you've got Balor, who certainly has had this sort of resurgence in his career. He's playing the heel role well. He's a really good wrestler. Obviously past his physical peak age-wise, but his ring smarts are making up for it. His demeanor feels more vicious and threatening than it did as babyface. So, you know, I think the chemistry with Priest and Dom and Rhea and Balor has been good for all four. You know, I think it started as kind of a, is this going to work? And I was a little more hopeful and thinking there's something there that could work than I think most people early on. But that doesn't mean that they were wrong and I was right. I just think Judgment Day's gotten better in ways that nobody could have predicted with confidence. I think it's been, you know, pretty well booked, and I think, you know, it helped that Priest had the stand-up match with Bad Bunny. It helped that Rhea Ripley found this whole level of confidence, the chemistry with Rhea and Dominic taking off. But all these things are happening. And then what we said about Balor, a lot of individual improvements happened, but it's an improved group. But I still don't know the answer to my question, which is how does this lead? Where does the Money in the Bank briefcase lead Priest if he is indeed going to end up as a babyface? I'm not quite sure what happened. I mean, does he cash in and against Seth later and then Balor costs him and that's the babyface turn? I guess that's the most obvious scenario that I can come up with.
Well, what he could do is do the honorable thing and say, I'm going to meet you on such and such date, like a pay-per-view or,
right,
you know, a Raw or something like that. And then at that point, he loses due to the outside interference of Finn, either intentionally or unintentionally trying to help him. And that's a way that you can keep him on the babyface track. But if Damian has an advocate backstage, one of the writers or producers that's really pushing for him, I could see him maybe cashing in and getting that title. Because, I mean, the way he carries himself, he's looking more confident in the ring, and he always has a cool look, just the way he dresses and carries himself. I don't think he'd be out of place having a run with the title. I don't think that's out of the question. And just see what happens. Does he catch fire? Do the fans get behind him? I could see him going that way. Not necessarily convinced that's what's going to happen, but wouldn't be a bad idea.
I'm sure WWE would love for Priest to reach a level where that he'd be embraced and accepted in that role. He had so much going for him, but there was always just something missing. You know, it's like you're doing a jigsaw puzzle, and at the end, there's like two or three pieces missing, and you're looking on the carpet for him, and you're wondering, did the dog eat it, or did it get? And then you go to the vacuum cleaner bag. I just vacuumed. Maybe it's fun in there. Like you're like, and that's what Priest WWE career has been. Everyone's been looking around for those two or three missing puzzle pieces to complete him as a main event top tier asset, and maybe they have found those final three pieces, or they're on their way to doing it. And if so, they're going to be thrilled if that's the case. And certainly Bad Bunny's part of it. Dom's part of it. But Priest has stepped up too. So, I think that they are genuinely encouraged by what's going on here. All right. Well, go ahead. Yeah, Karen, what else?
No, I said I'm certainly encouraged too. So, yeah, I'd like to see how this is going to play out.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's go ahead and pause and formally introduce ourselves, and then we will move on with the show with emails and calls. We have an on-site correspondent who attended tonight who we're anticipating hearing from soon also. It is a holiday eve edition of Raw and the post show, so we might go a little shorter than normal, but we'll see where things take us. But if you are holding out to call us till later, but you're listening to us now, try to call in and push one sooner rather than later, just in case. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for Monday, July 3rd, 2023. And I'm Wade Keller, the host of the show, the editor, publisher, and founder of the long-running Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly newsletter, documenting pro wrestling in real time with news, live TV coverage, pay-per-view coverage, star ratings, Torch Talk, long-form interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest names dating back to the late 1980s. We still are publishing that, and we'll have a new edition of the newsletter going up this week for our VIP members with the VIP exclusive roundtable reviews from the Torch staff covering Money in the Bank from Saturday. Also, as usual, page 10 anchored by a Greg Parks feature column, which this week includes a list of things that have happened in between the last two times the last time Roman Reigns got pinned before Money in the Bank. Like, it's just crazy how much has happened in pro wrestling since Roman Reigns was pinned. And Greg covered that in this week's column. So much more. You can get access, digital access to the PDF, kind of the magazine-style layout version of the newsletter, or an alt-text version, which is certainly easier to read on your phone, with a VIP membership. VIP membership comes with VIP exclusive podcasts, commercial-free versions of this show, and so much more. 35 years of archives of tons of stuff. Check out details. We'd love to have you as a member, and I think you'll love what we offer for that subscription. Our style of coverage is much broader and much more comprehensive when you enter the VIP sphere. pwtorch.com/govip is how you support us and unlock all that content. The other voice you hear today is Darren Lilly. He hosts a VIP podcast covering Impact Wrestling with John Laszlo. He also covers Impact Wrestling with a written report at pwtorch.com every Thursday night, and covers also Impact special live events. And he is also a co-host with me pretty regularly these days. Darren, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Good to talk Raw with you. We have a phone number, if you're listening to us live, that you can call and be part of the show. Give your opinion on Raw, ask us a question, push back on a point that we made, fill in a gap if we miss something that you think adds to a topic that we're covering. That phone number is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1 on your keypad. That flags you on our switchboard so that we know you want to be on the show. You can also just call that number and listen in. Just don't push 1, and we won't bring you on. You can also email us at wadekellerpodcast@pewtorch.com. wadekellerpodcast@pewtorch.com. And we'll be checking that inbox throughout the show here. You don't have to listen live to participate with an email. If you're watching Raw, Dynamite, SmackDown, or Collision, and you have a thought during the show or a question at the end that you want us to address, you can send that in and then just listen later on demand. Download the show the next morning or whenever works for you and see if your email got included. All right. So, Let's get the phone calls here, and we will begin with Dean in Birmingham, Alabama. Dean, you're first up today. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind about Raw?
Hey, guys. Appreciate it. And just what Triple H, Vince McMahon do, the build-up, the momentum for the next show, the next pay-per-view. I'm excited about watching SummerSlam and the direction it's going, especially tonight's Raw, Brock Lesnar coming back, Cody Rhodes, the build-up. One thing I don't understand, I mean, I do understand, like, future-wise down the road maybe, but, like, because I read an article watching Money in the Bank about them hosting John Cena, when he came out, talked about why not have WrestleMania here. You already have Philadelphia and Edward. They already have another city or somebody lined up after Philadelphia to host WrestleMania. I didn't really see the point in that or anything in that, but somebody was trying to comment and just say, oh, well, they're just trying to take a dig at Tony Khan, but really I don't see the sense in that because WWE's bigger and the company and everything, but I really like what's going with Finn Balor and Seth Rollins, and can't wait to see what happens next and just ask you, see what your guys' opinion is about that, and maybe down the road, WrestleMania in London. Who knows?
All right. We're back. We got disconnected from our switchboard. So it's not you. It's us. We do have some storms here in the area that might be contributing to that. Not sure. Darren, welcome back also.
I'm back.
Yep. All right. So let's bring Dean back in. Dean got hung up on and called back in. Dean, go ahead and wrap up your comments there. Sorry about us getting disconnected from our switchboard there.
Okay. What was the last thing you heard?
You're talking something about Tony Khan and WWE much bigger, and then something maybe right after that that I can't recall because that's right when we got disconnected.
Okay, so I kind of read the comments, what's going on, and then wanting to do, or, you know, when John Cena did his segment, he came out, talked about one of the WrestleMania in London, and anyway, you know, they already have WrestleMania lined up for Philadelphia, and then I was reading the article where they already have even another place lined up after that for WrestleMania, and they don't really have London in, you know, in the plans for WrestleMania yet. So I mean, whatever your opinion is about that, I didn't understand that segment. And if they are down the road for the future, that makes sense. But really, to me, that was a wasted segment or whatever they're trying to do. Maybe one day they'll have WrestleMania though. That's cool. But, and somebody was trying to say, oh, that's just taking a dig at Tony Khan, AEW, because, you know, they're trying to have an AEW show there. So, but anyway, I mean, they're,
let me jump in. What's your specific question? Yeah, let me just kind of round up. What's your specific question about Raw tonight, or what about the show stood out that you want us to comment on?
Your opinion on if they do host a WrestleMania London, have, you know, WrestleMania in London, and I don't think they were taking a dig at Tony Khan, AEW, or what, for that segment, but it didn't make sense to me. But I just want to call in and comment and say I like the direction of the momentum and where they're headed towards SummerSlam.
Sure,
I'm excited with.
Hello? You're excited about what, Dean? Sorry.
Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point coming out of Raw. First of all, the London thing, I don't know. Everybody's, is it the biggest? How did Greg Parks? How did he refer to that in his VIP roundtable? Because I thought he had a really good opening line. He goes, John Cena pulled either the greatest surprise or the cruelest prank on the London audience and getting them lathered up for a potential WrestleMania down the line. You have to imagine that wasn't just a means to an end to ensure he got cheered when Grayson Waller attacked. That's either a cruel prank or a really cool surprise and the first strong indication of WrestleMania coming to London. I haven't gotten any determination whether like that's genuinely very likely or just in consideration. Todd Martin talked about it on the VIP roundtable on Saturday late afternoon. It could be just a way to get the Londoners excited about it, to put pressure on the local politicians and the city to then roll out the red carpet and pay WWE to come there, which I've been covering WWE long enough. I'm still amazed that municipalities are courting WWE and paying them to bring their show to their market. It's this genius move where WWE is touting all the economic impact that they have. And they're like, treat us like a convention coming to town. We bring people from all over. So, I mean, I don't know how for sure London is or if this is just an angle to try to get them going or if it was to steal a little thunder from Tony Khan by saying, you know, you've got a big crowd coming, but maybe save your money or save your excitement. We love you too, London. So that's interesting, Darren. You can comment on that if you want. And then SummerSlam, as Dean said, I think the hype is good. You know, I think they're – WWE's just doing a lot of things well right now. And, you know, the SmackDown ratings, we put it up at pwtorch.com earlier. I wrote the ratings report on Raw. Ratings, viewership and demo ratings are up year over year. They were over 2.5 million, I think, for only the third time this year. On Friday for SmackDown, a show that aired on delay but was in London, featured Logan Paul, Roman Reigns. And, yeah, Brock Lesnar coming back. You know, they teased a Cody-Seth match, which is their way of letting everybody know, and I thought this was clever. Cody kind of indicating, I want to be a champion, and I'm going to come out and talk to Seth about it. It's not just Roman's title that interests me. But then to have it completely derailed with Brock showing up and Cody going, yeah, I'll get back to you, Seth, but I got to go beat this guy up first. And then he charges after Lesnar. It does set up Cody Lesnar well, but it gave Cody an excuse to be in the ring. So I thought that was a good segment. And, yeah, I think they're going to have a SummerSlam at Ford Field. It's going to be really fun to watch, and I think they've got a lot of pieces in play. And, I mean, this is a really good run for WWE in terms of putting on, like, big arena, big stadium, big event vibe shows. And SummerSlam doesn't look like it's going to be a letdown with the pieces that they have in place that we know or that are sort of in motion. Darren, your comments on both of those, WrestleMania London and the build of SummerSlam so far.
Yeah, as far as like the whole London segment, Dean brought up a good point. I thought it was weird because the soonest you could have a WrestleMania would be like two, the soonest, but 3 years down the line in all probability. So what's the point of getting everyone all hyped about that? It just didn't make any kind of sense. But as to maybe just take away some of the thunder because AEW's coming. And that's probably with their mindset, wouldn't surprise me, but it saved your money for 3 years down the line, I guess. So I guess that means a lot to them. So I guess I let them have that little moment. But as far as the build of SummerSlam, it's good. It looks like they're concentrating on, you know, about seven or eight matches. So I like the pattern with the special events, whatever they call them now, pay-per-views. I'm old school. PLEs, yes. Of not just overloading 14 matches, stuff you don't want to see. They keep them, you know, like there's like, what, six matches on Sunday or Saturday? And it's the perfect amount. You don't get tired. You know, you're not, you know, yawning and everything. So yeah. They do a good job of building to what they have, and I'd like to see that continue.
Yes, very good. All right, let's go to Brad from Florida next. Brad, thanks for calling. What's on your mind about Raw tonight?
Hey, guys. Hey, Darren. Hey, Wade. Thank you so much for a minute here. So I really, first of all, on Raw tonight, I thought that the Natalya, I don't know what you guys thought of it. I'd like to know what you thought of it, but the Natalya-Rhea match was actually really good. It was one of those things that I was like, kind of like, why are they doing this again? And it ended up being, like, to me, the match of the night. I think the most fun match of the night was the Alpha Academy with Maxine. I just thought that was, like, a lot of fun, and, you know, you're kind of smiling. But I really thought that Natalya was, like, terrific, and it made me just realize, like, and kind of remember, like why are they not kind of utilizing her more? Because she really can be very good still at this age with what she pulled off tonight. And my other point on that match is this, that Rhea, I almost feel like she's been like studying Roman's like in-ring style, and it's very possible. I don't know, but just with the way she kind of like taunts her opponent in that Roman Reigns-ish way, and you know, with like slapping them in the face when they're on their knees and like talking a lot of, you know, S to them, like that sort of thing. Like, I just feel like she really is like almost channeling him, and it's, she's just so good compared to like what we saw, you know, even a year or so ago when she was like teaming with Nikki A.S.H. I mean, it's just such a transformation. And I just wanted your guys' thoughts on that match first and foremost.
Yeah. I mean, Natalya's 3 years younger than CM Punk, even younger than AJ Styles, 11 years younger than Chris Jericho. Her style is not based on being a great young athlete doing crazy high spots. Her skill set are things that are going to last. And I'm still not, you know, quite sure what's going on with her character. You know, I mean, they had this backstory, Darren, of, you know, she's frustrated. She doesn't know if she can go on. And then she had this pep talk for Raquel and Liv backstage. And then she sort of had this, like, her mind was in the clouds somewhere. Like, she had this weird, like, confidence or Stepford wife gaze going on. I don't really know how to read into her body language, but I'm intrigued. And then, you know, she loses and it sort of becomes an afterthought. So I don't know if they just kind of patched something together so they could justify giving 15 minutes to them a month later, or if there is still more going on with Natalya, and losing tonight is going to be the next chapter in that. But yeah, I mean, Natalya can still go, and she's got years left of having these kinds of matches. Jake Barnett of ProWrestling.net, who's off and on with me co-hosting the post shows, he mentioned on Twitter that's probably the best Natty match since the one she had with Nikki Bella in 2016. Now, I don't know about that. I'd have to – that's a long stretch of Natalya not having a match better than tonight's. But maybe. I mean, I don't even know. Yeah. It was a very good match. And Rhea Ripley is good. I've thought of the Roman Reigns comparisons before myself watching her. You know, and not that she's copying Roman, but she has some of the same strengths as a heel wrestler as Roman, and that she knows – it's not just about the moves. It's about what you do in between the moves. It's about the body language, the bravado, the puffing your chest out, you know, making it look like you have a real – that you're not out to try to add stars to your score, but you're out to try to get genuine crowd heat and do it in a way that feels realistic, that you feel antagonistic and cocky towards your opponent. And she's got that down. I mean, she's really good. And we talked about – we sang the praises of the Judgment Day earlier, and then here she is in the ring. And Natalya's – you know, I say this about Jerry Lynn. For 20-plus years, he had a long list of wrestlers whose best matches of their career were against him. And I think Natalya has that list also. I think there's a number of wrestlers who would say, especially from the NXT, you know, who came up through NXT, that their best matches, or at least in that realm, were with Natalya. You know, she's taken pride. She's helped train Ronda Rousey into a passable pro wrestler. And obviously she had some great matches with Charlotte and other people from NXT of that generation. So I wasn't surprised by it tonight. But, you know, Rhea Ripley gets co-credit for sure for that. Darren, what do you think?
I was a little surprised because I thought they were just going to have Rhea just run over Natalya, but they didn't. Yeah. And I was glad because I thought it was a really good match, easy match of the night. Rhea just continues to impress ever since winning the title. My only concern is they need to keep people strong to have her as a challenger because she looks so dominant. Even in a match like tonight where they were going back and forth, she still managed to look dominant. You know, she didn't lose anything by selling for Natalya or anything like that by any means. Just a really physical match, and both of them shined. I wonder where Natalya, I'm sure she impressed a lot of people back there, but I mean, they know her reputation, obviously. But where did they go with her from here? The last few weeks, you know, she's been on the whole thing and losing my confidence thing. Is this the end of it? I mean, because you had to fill some TV time up for Rhea to have something to do in the ring. And maybe that was just it, a little 3 or 4 week little storyline arc. And then that'll be the end of it. Natalya's probably not on their list of priorities heading into SummerSlam, but this is something you can revisit afterwards. About her getting her confidence back or something like that. I don't expect to see anything in the next couple of weeks about it, but certainly there's something left that you could build on from there, and her showing tonight proves why she's worth investing TV time into.
All right, very good. Brett, anything else that you want to bring up?
Yeah, thank you guys for that. I was really of the belief that, you know, at Money in the Bank, that Finn Balor should have beaten Seth because it would have created, you know, in my opinion, like such a compelling story with Priest having the briefcase and Finn having the championship and kind of like, you know, Damian being like, hey, you know, don't worry, man, you know, we're the Judgment Day, we're together, but like always kind of looming in the background, like, is he going to cash in on me? Like, do I trust this guy? And then leading to further distrust and, you know, whatever. But after I saw tonight, I actually think that they made a really good decision, and I actually loved what I couldn't even imagine where they were going to go with it other than, you know, just Damian kind of looming over Seth, which was the thing. But then when Finn came in at the end and, you know, knocked over Priest and sort of, you saw that tension there still, it was really, I just thought it was done really well. And, you know, logically, it doesn't make sense for Seth to say, oh, yeah, you know, if the crowd says, yeah, I'll defend my championship, not what a smart champion would do, you know, in a logical world. You wouldn't say, oh, yeah, I'll defend against your buddy and you could just cash in on me if I start getting roughed up. Like, that's fine. But still, I did like what they did with it and where it's, and I just want to know, like, from your guys' angle, like, where do you think this is going? I know you did mention you could see Priest with that championship and he would probably be a good representative with it. And I don't disagree at all, but I'm just curious as to, do you see this thing, a situation where Seth's always kind of, I don't want to say running from them, but always kind of getting chased by the Damian faction, or does this lead to just further tension between him and Finn and almost a jealousy, or just a combination of all of that? Or what do you think? Because it was done well tonight.
Yeah. Brad, we spent, you know, a good amount of time at the top of the show talking about all those possibilities and you know, the various avenues for Seth right now. I mean, I think they want to tease Cody just to keep him in the picture, but I don't think that's imminent. And then it comes down to, do they get a match out of Priest and Seth with Priest as a heel first, a full-fledged match, or is Seth facing someone else at SummerSlam, maybe a rematch with Balor? Darren, who's on your list of Seth candidates for that SummerSlam match? Because my pick going into Money in the Bank was Logan Paul winning Money in the Bank, cashing in, unseating Seth, and then Seth chasing him to get his title back at SummerSlam, and that would also add a non-tournament title victory in history to that title pretty quickly. We didn't get that. So what do we get? What's going to happen?
I think it's going to be another Finn match, or we could get the dreaded three-way and you throw in Damian Priest. I think it's headed that way. I can't think of anyone that's really standing out as an obvious challenger. Trying to think back to the Money in the Bank match. No one's strong enough. Nakamura just dropped two pinfalls. I don't think it's going to be him. Bronson Reed isn't ready. I think we're headed to more Finn, more Judgment Day.
I think you're onto something. I think, well, how does Finn Balor justify getting a rematch? That's the question. But maybe, you know, they've got a month to tell the story. Maybe they have some sort of, how WWE does it, some sort of elimination or match or whatever.
Or Finn Balor makes a challenge.
Yeah, but, you know, you still want it to seem like the guy headlining, you know, co-headlining SummerSlam in a world title match has earned it somehow, not just Seth going, I want you. But, yeah, I mean, it's right. They can do that, too. But however they get there, and then Priest has had enough of Balor. And it does become a triple threat, which I don't love, but as long as there's a natural reason for it, I don't despise it. This would make sense. Priest goes, you know what? Because he hesitated tonight. And you pointed that out, Darren. And I'm glad you underlined that. He hesitated before cashing in on a champion who was vulnerable and beaten down for this grueling match against Dominic. Okay, maybe not that, but you know what I mean. And so Priest goes, you know what? I'm going to cash in the way that it should be done. I'm going to add myself to this match ahead of time, not afterwards. So you got Balor, Seth, Priest cashes in to make it a triple threat, and that's your one of your co-headliners, headline matches along with Reigns, Jay presumably, and Brock Cody. What do you think of that, Derek?
Yeah,
that's your idea, basically.
Yeah, but
what do you think of your idea that I just expanded upon? Great.
I would like to be right.
Exactly. Yeah. Brad, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I know. I think the triple threat is definitely that sounds like a really good idea. And, you know, to have that dynamic of like, because Damian, like you kind of just alluded to, Wade, has shown some admirable qualities, even tonight. Like, he did have a hesitation about cashing in until he was kind of, you know, Dom telling him what to do and Rhea telling him what to do. And he's like, yeah. And then he, you know, kind of got up on the apron and then the whole thing happened. But he's, you know, said before, Damian, I don't want you guys coming out to the ring. I don't want any help in this match. I don't want blah, blah, blah. So he's shown like a little bit of babyface tendencies, and it's very interesting. And I do think it's going to end up with a triple threat of some sort with, you know, Damian inserting himself in the honorable way into the match, probably at SummerSlam for it. And I think it would be really, really good and tension filled, and Seth doesn't even have to take the pinfall to lose the championship. And I did find it interesting with Seth and Cody when Cody came in, and I understand, you know, pretty much anyone's going to look like a heel almost, you know, with Cody in the ring. He looks like Captain America coming in there with everyone singing for him. But Seth was not looking pleased. Seth was really looking like a heel. I'm saying when Cody was walking into the ring and Seth was standing there, Seth was not looking like a good guy there. You know, he was looking like, what the hell are you doing here? Why the hell are you here? Get out of my face. I don't want to see you. And that's, you know, that's sort of the strangeness of this Seth Rollins character, that you get this, you know, kind of guy who's so full of himself and wants people to sing for him and chant for him. And that's kind of heelish, but in the same respect, he's high-fiving people and he's trying to have fun out there and, you know, and he's playing the babyface role. So it was just interesting, I think, that when Cody came out, also because Cody has said, you know, that championship isn't the one that finishes my story. So there was a lot of layers to it tonight. And I thought for a show like 5 weeks out from SummerSlam or whatever, like they did a pretty good job of making things pretty interesting as a kind of starting point for this new path they're going down.
Yeah, I think so too. Darren, you want to add anything to that?
No, yeah, we kind of talked about, yeah, they're on a good path, and yeah, I got to agree with that.
All right, very good.
All right.
Thanks,
guys.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Fred. Yep, cool. Good to hear from you.
Thanks.
All right, our on-site, yep, you bet. Our on-site correspondent called in. He has unpressed one. So, Christopher, if you are ready for us, push one again. If not, we'll take another call and then go back to you. Okay, push one again. So we're good. Christopher from Baltimore attended Raw tonight in person. Thanks. Christopher, are you ready for us?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we sure can.
Okay, great. Nice to be with you. I'm with my friend Josh. We're both in our mid-30s, been watching wrestling all our lives, and then we've got his daughters, Amelia and Nora, who are 12 and 8, and they watch a lot of wrestling too, but this is their very first televised WWE show they've ever been to, so good stuff here.
Well, Christopher, what are there? Is Chris or Christopher?
Chris, good.
Chris. Okay, sounds good. Chris, what was the impression of their first time experience, the younger ones in your group, seeing a WWE TV production? Did they have any top takeaways that either they shared with you already or that they could yell into the phone?
Do you want to hear right from them? They can talk.
Yeah, go ahead. What do you guys think?
Right. Here's Amelia, the 12-year-old.
Sure. Hey,
hi.
Amelia.
What?
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, Amelia. What did you think of your first in-person WWE TV show?
I think it's awesome because Cody Rhodes is there, and he's, like, my favorite wrestler.
Why do you like Cody so much? It's a good choice, but why do you like him so much?
Like, I don't know. I just think he just really sticks out. Like, I can't really describe it, but he's awesome.
Yeah, cool. Anything surprise you about what it was like to be in the building for a Raw rather than watching on TV?
I feel like you can hear, like, everybody's excitement and, like, joy by sitting in the stadium than at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel
like... Was there anything you... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
It's fine.
Yeah, was there anything that was less fun being there in person?
No, not really.
Yeah, that's good. So you didn't miss Corey Graves too much on commentary.
we've got the younger sister here too, Nora. Nora, do you have any thoughts on tonight?
I thought seeing Cody Rhodes is pretty cool. I really like how I saw the emo group, but I don't like the people in it. And yeah.
I think she's thinking of Judgment Day.
Gotcha. Very good. Yeah. So, Chris, what stood out to you tonight in terms of any crowd reactions that surprised you or that confirmed things for you?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say, I listen to your guys' show regularly, and I'm kind of with you. I'm not the biggest fan of this current version of Seth Rollins, but I will say that it is very addictive and very fun to participate in the championship. Yeah. Yeah, myself and the girl's father,
we're not big Teflon fans, but the kid is the best.
Yeah, it is very fun.
Everybody can sing along, it's great.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. I mean, we were doing it as we're walking out after the show into the rain. I mean, it's
Alpha Academy really got a big, everybody was really into Alpha Academy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Alpha Academy was a surprise hit. People were really, really into that, especially when Maxine got the tag into the match. I mean, people were – I mean, that was a – I would say that was a top five kind of pop of the night.
Yeah, I was watching the crowd reaction when they were anticipating her taking in, and then when she did take in, and it was like, this is working. Like, people are into – you know, Gable and Otis, they're likable, and they've told the story of Maxine trying hard, training, and they want her to succeed, and they were excited to see her take out Valhalla. So, I mean, it's possible that Maxine gets the hot tag, and the crowd's like, we don't care. And that was not the case. This confirmed, you know, it's one night, but it confirmed that something is working with that threesome. So I don't know if that's good or bad news for Massé and Mansoor, but Maxine's got a new home and a new group that crowd's into.
It shows that if you're a former manager for them, you're in a good spot. But if you're them, not so much.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Which by the way, LA Knight, no to be found, but lots of chants and people yelling out, yeah, a lot of love for him. With even though he had nowhere to, you know, he wasn't there. He's a SmackDown guy.
Interesting. Yeah, the crowd thinking of him even if they're at a show where he's not going to be on it. What was your reaction for Damian Priest throughout the night? Are fans into him in a kind of a we want you to be a babyface way, or is it just full-on heel? They're not really thinking about
My friend Josh here, he just said stale. I would say leaning heel, but just, yeah, I don't think, I mean, I would say more heel, but generally not a
Really,
I don't think nobody's that into it.
One thing I'm curious about, and then I'm going to throw to you, Darren, after this for your question. The crowd really sided with Shayna Baszler against Ronda Rousey. I don't know if that's what WWE wanted. I don't know if that's what Shayna and Ronda wanted, but talk about that.
So I think I turned to my friend and I said, I feel almost bad for Ronda Rousey at this point. I mean, yeah, they were absolutely – I mean, even before either of them spoke, the crowd was booing Ronda Rousey. There was people behind me who were saying negative things about her. And I'm like, man, like, is there anything this – I mean, this woman just got turned on last two nights ago. Is there anything that can happen to this woman and people won't forgive her, won't cheer her? I mean, it's a sad state of affairs for her.
What, was there any pro Ronda fan section?
Yeah, me.
Interesting. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, but based off of how Shayna talked, I mean, do you disagree? It seemed like what she said seemed like a very like Ronda was supposed to be the heel in that. I mean, based off of Shayna saying, you know, you took all the shortcuts and I had to work hard. So it almost seemed to me like that was the plan. I mean, am I wrong?
Well, you're not wrong. It just feels contradictory to have, although we saw it with Natalya attacking Ripley from behind, also having Shayna cost them the tag titles out of nowhere like that. And, attack Ronda in the middle of a match. Like, that just seemed like, okay, Ronda wants to go out being cheered, and Shayna wants to be a strong heel. And then the promo, like you said, it feels like, well, yeah, Ronda did get the celebrity to get jump in front of in the express lane as a celebrity. Well, Shayna was working hard to prove herself. Now, the counter argument, which Ronda, it sounds harsh, but maybe isn't capable of convincingly and sympathetically saying is, well, have the kind of MMA record that I did, and you could have jumped in line, and I'd have to be setting up the ring and working hard. You know, it's not like I got She could also say, it's not like I'm a YouTube star. I dominated MMA for a while and earned my place to jump ahead in line. I mean, there was a comeback to be had.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of the women, that gauntlet. I don't know. Did we call it a gauntlet match? Oof, that was
that was a
bathroom break and a half.
Yeah, not good.
Other than the last two women who got in there, whose names I'm drawing a blank on, the two women who came up from NXT. The small women, I can't even think of their names right now. Other than their part at the very end, that match was tiresome.
We couldn't tell where the commercial break was.
You there? That sounds like Lou.
Hello.
Hey, you guys there?
All right, we are back. We got disconnected there again. We were having some switchboard issues. So, Chris, sorry for our ancestor ducking out, but thanks for holding on while we're there. Darren, let me throw to you for your question for Chris and his car full of people.
Sure. They played a Bloodline video package, and if you could see that in the arena, what was the reaction in the arena? Were people excited and kind of buzzing about that, or were they over it, or were they still invested in that angle?
Yeah, they're pretty pumped up. That's pretty good. I mean, if it's anything to do with the Bloodline right now, everybody's jacked. Everybody wants to do everything with the Bloodline. I mean, gosh, if Jimmy and Jay would have showed up tonight, I think the whole Baltimore arena would have went crazy, more than Seth Rollins by a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
How about the Natalya Rhea Ripley match? It was a good match. Storyline wise, it was a little weird having the babyface attack the heel from behind. Natalya's been on a losing streak, but Rhea Ripley's really over. Dom is, of course, over. How did that get over with the crowd?
It was actually really good. They actually gave Natalya a lot of offense, and it was a full out great match. You didn't know who was going to win. And, I mean, I was really surprised that all the kickouts that they actually had at the last second. You didn't know who was going to win, and obviously Rhea Ripley won it, but it actually kept you hanging. So that was the best offensive match ever seen by Natalya.
And the crowd was definitely. I don't think that's the goal. But
come on, mommy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The crowd is definitely way behind Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, they've got some issues with crowd reactions right now, and some of it's on the booking and some of it's just wrestlers being entertaining enough that fans want to cheer them. Was there a low point in the show, Chris, just where clearly you and your group or the crowd also were just not as into it?
Definitely the women's gauntlet match was a low one. Like, the no one really cheered. No one cared. It was too many women's tag teams that were, mixed stuff, and no one really cared. No one knew who half the competitors were.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, there was a lot of people going to the bathroom during that women's gauntlet, whatever match that, whatever they called it.
Yeah. What was the biggest or the top 2, 3, 4 biggest pops of the night?
Brock Lesnar when his music hit, everybody freaked out, and then Brock at the easiest night of the night, getting the Cody Cutter and walking on out, going back to scratch one.
Yeah. Brock was definitely a big nice pop, but I mean, definitely Cody was the most over, followed by
Drew McIntyre.
Oh yeah, oh Drew. Oh god, I forgot about.
Oh yeah, Drew. Yeah,
big one. Yeah. Oh yeah.
I got a lot of baby faces on Raw right now that are over. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll say this about Cody. When he got interviewed by the new woman, did they say her name was Jackie or something? I've never seen where fans were, you know, because he's doing that weird. It's actually a throwback, but he's doing that, you know. But it seems like it's just tailor made for him, where he gets interviewed right up by the crowd, you know, on the stage. And the fans are right behind him, and he turned around, and a fan handed him a belt and a marker, or not a marker, or
Sharpie.
Thank you, a Sharpie, and he signed it right then and there. And I've been to a lot of shows, and I've never seen someone signing stuff right there, you know, in the middle of the ramp. Yeah,
he's a true dedicated fan to I'm a dedicated wrestler to his fans, like. That is one good-hearted guy.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, and in your defense, Chris, Sharpie is, I think, a brand of marker. It's not something separate from marker. So I think you're both right.
I want
to jump in with that. I'm here for you.
Yeah, you don't want to
make Cody, we hear that.
Tissue.
Exactly, yep. Cody gets credit for that everywhere he goes. I mean, he's giving back to the fans his time in so many different ways. And when I talk about that, people email me stories of Cody doing that off camera, not in front of big crowds. Like he's just, you know, genuinely very fan friendly, and those stories relate. And I think add to why you're the girls who went to their first show like Cody so much. You know, I think there's a sense of just genuine appreciation for how accessible and genuine his appreciation of the fans is.
Yeah. Girls, what are your shirts both say? What did yours say?
Just the girl that likes Cody.
And Nora, what's yours say?
Mine says American Nightmare, but in the middle says Dream, and there's a cross on it.
Aw. That's great. That's great.
One other thing I'd like to mention that I've never noticed in all the shows I've gone to, and maybe I'm sitting on the wrong side all these years, but we were sitting, let me word this correctly, across from the hard cam. So we were, the hard cam was looking at us. We were on screen. And I've never noticed this. There is a clock now that sits on the hard camera side.
Yeah, I didn't know.
With the hour, the minute, and the second, which I mean, unless I've been blind all these years, I've never noticed. I mean, but that's a new addition I've never picked up on. That's got to be obviously for the wrestlers, not for us. I don't know why they'd want us.
Yeah, it's like the shot clock. You better get your stuff done because you know when your cue is.
Yeah.
It's probably a passive-aggressive message to a couple people who ate up too much time too often. And they're like, all right, we're going to have to install a big digital clock to keep you in line.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they don't even give you a countdown now. They just tell you, it's, you know, 10:08, you're off.
Yeah. It's such – I mean, I've been going to WWE shows for, you know, 30-plus years, and it's such a different world now from a TV taping standpoint-wise. I mean, it's so sophisticated what they do. I mean, they have just continued to advance and refine the art of a live wrestling event. And they had trouble for a while making the TV the audience not feel like props in a TV production. And since COVID, they've actually gotten a lot better. It's, you know, pre-COVID, we're talking a lot about – did you feel like you're just a prop and there was a lot of downtime? And now pretty consistently our on-site correspondents say, you know, they felt like this show was for them and there happened to be, you know, TV cameras there also. How did you feel about that? Did it ever seem like, you know, oh man, they're really, you know, the wrestlers standing in the ring forever and that kind of thing?
No, they kept they did DX cam. So they did DX cam. What was the other?
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan, yeah. So they wanted everybody to do their poses. They scanned around the arena. Show us your signs. They did during commercial break.
Yeah, like that.
So they kept everybody on their feet the whole time. Stone Cold. Yeah, they did the whole Stone Cold with this TV show. So they kept everybody entertained on the commercial breaks, which was actually really nice compared to old shows about 10 years ago where we were just sitting there. and sometimes you would have, Randy Orton talk trash about the town and everything. I wish they would have did that with Dominic Mysterio because everybody hates Dominic Mysterio. They trash Baltimore. But otherwise, man, they kept everybody on their feet during the commercial breaks.
Who got the most booze, besides Dominic?
Man, I would say, I mean, that, yeah, I would say Ronda Rousey, actually. Ronda Rousey got a lot of booze, man.
Yeah.
Maybe
Rousey. Yeah.
Amelia, you just said, was it Trish and Zoe?
Yeah.
They got a lot.
Zoe Stark and Trish did get a lot of booze. Yeah.
Yeah, they got a lot. I'm trying to think of who else may have. Oh.
I've lost that. I mean, Viking Raiders maybe a tad, but not really.
Not really, no.
I mean, there wasn't really much doing otherwise. Man, everybody hates Dominic.
Yeah, Dominic number one, as always, as per usual.
Totally. All right, Darren, anything else you want to ask Chris?
Did they have any matches before the live broadcast or after?
Yeah, there was, I think, was it two main event matches?
And Madcap Moss and, they call him Riddick now, versus Apollo Crews. And then they had Tozawa versus
JD.
JD,
what's his name?
JD, the Irish guy.
Yep. Yeah. Those two. I don't feel like, I mean, neither of them got much.
Yeah, it's pretty stale.
But he's Riddick now. Did he have any kind of different ring gear or music or a new kind of persona pasted over him?
Oh, the rougher looking hair. That's about it.
Was there a heel turn I missed? I watch every episode of Raw and SmackDown. I don't remember a heel turn. Did I forget?
No.
Did I forget that happened? He was definitely full heel mode.
I guess he's just testing things out. We haven't seen Riddick and Emma together much lately or at all lately either. So no, yeah, they're probably just, you know, he's testing out a new attitude, seeing how it works. Cool. Chris, anything else you want to add about the experience of the show tonight?
Hulk Hogan, when they did it, when they introduced him and they did, and they asked people to do their favorite Hogan pose, people did boo. And I'll probably disagree. I'm Hulkamaniac, even though it was before my time, but I still like Hulk Hogan. But it was not, he was not very popular in Baltimore City.
Interesting. Well, it was always kind of a Ric Flair town. So even if you take out all the racist stuff that he said,
that's true.
They're booing him just because it's a Ric Flair town.
That's true. Sure. We'll take out
the
racist stuff. It was because of Ric Flair.
Yeah, you can love the art and not the artist, right? And there's still people who love, you know, who are going to cheer what Hulkamania meant to them. But I think some fans in Baltimore, because that's Ric Flair country, are just booing because they were either around then or they were raised to know you cheer Rick and you boo Hulk. So that could be part of it. That's always been an NWA, WCW town,
at least
during those years. Yeah. Cool. So, Chris, anything else you want to add before we let you go?
No, I think that's all the notes I took. And girls, you got anything else?
Nope. No.
No.
You love your first show? So much you love your first show?
I love the first show. It's really good.
I saw Seth Rollins because that was like one of my favorite parts. I was really excited to see Gunther because I don't know why. But yeah.
You know Gunther's a star wrestler, that's why.
Yep, I think that's all we got here.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks. Hey, so my great memories are going to live wrestling shows 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. That's a great time to be able to see your wrestlers in person that you see on TV. So it's great they got to do that tonight. Chris and everybody, thank you so much. Girls, thanks for being part of the show and sharing your favorite parts of it with us.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
You bet. Bye. Future on-site correspondents there. Yeah, or current ones, actually, but, you know, when they're calling on their own and in 5 to 10 years. All right, very good. If you're live streaming the show and you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 347-215-8558. By the way, if you want to be an on-site correspondent like Chris and his brother and nieces, I think is that right? Is his brother and his nieces?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too. they, if you want to be an outside correspondent, drop me a line, wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. And just let me know what show you're going to. Put the name of the city in the subject line, ideally. And we'll be in touch and set you up to be on. All right. We'll go next to area code 917. 917, go ahead and state your name and the city you're calling from.
Good evening, Wade and Darren. This is John from New York City. Wade, it's nice to talk to you for the first time. I'm a long-time VIP subscriber. I've emailed a couple times, but I'm taking advantage of the long weekend to stay up late and give you a call.
Awesome. Thank you for being a VIP member all these years.
Of course. Brad from Florida always makes really good points and stole a little bit of my thunder, so I'll combine a couple of things I was going to mention for the sake of efficiency. But I thought Rhea really just had an incredible night. I think her performance, if you think about it, I think she had three sort of marquee segments. Her performance at the beginning of the show, performance in the ring, and then even backstage. I thought just the way that she was walking around backstage, interacting with EO. I think she's top level on male or female side. One of the things that stuck with me is the comment Becky Lynch made a couple of weeks ago about her being a main event side piece. And I'm kind of wondering, do you think that they could be pushing her to an even higher degree on the show and really positioning her in that top one or two slot? And related to that, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. We got our switchboard's been real flaky tonight, as you probably have heard. We got disconnected right as you started talking. Just patched back in. Do you mind starting over and we'll fix it in post? I really apologize.
Yeah. No problem. Did you hear anything I was saying about Rhea?
You just said Brad makes good points, and then you start talking about Rhea, and then that's when we got knocked off the service again.
Yeah, so I was saying that I was going to combine a couple of points I was going to make just for efficiency, because Brad did hit on a couple things, but I thought that Rhea's performance tonight was just fantastic across the whole evening, from her promo work early in the show, her performance in the ring, and then even backstage when she was walking around after her win, and her interaction with EO. I just think she's I just think she's carrying herself like a star on another level. And it stuck with me what Becky Lynch said a couple of weeks ago when she called her a main event side piece, and then when Becky was on top, she was in the main event. And so I'm wondering, is there something to that? And could they be pushing Rhea to an even higher degree? And related, I'm wondering if Rhea might end up playing a bigger role in the conflict between Damian and Finn Balor. I was noticing at the end of the show that Rhea was, screaming at them as they were pushing each other as the show went off the air. And I'm actually wondering if, there could be a situation where Damian says, I'm challenging Seth at SummerSlam. I'm cashing in, ahead of time. And Rhea convinces him to let Finn in the match. And if there could be something interesting there.
Yeah, they have to be, the writers and the participants of Judgment Day have to be looking at what's going on with the Bloodline and being inspired by it to see that there's this next level that you can take the interpersonal relationship in a four or five person faction and play on that and plant seeds and have these subtle clues that pay off and the audience gains trust and paying close attention to that. We had Dom trying to play peacemaker, but also knowing he's not the alpha. And like you said, Rhea Ripley does come across as much of a leader in that group as anyone, even though she's the youngest by far. Well, much younger than Balor and Damian. She and Ripley aren't that far apart. So yeah, Darren, what do you think about Rhea Ripley's role and her influence on the dynamic between Damian and Finn Balor in the next month or beyond?
I could see her playing a role in that, just by, you know, she's kind of the de facto leader sometimes of the Judgment Day, so she would certainly make a point. And they seem to like her having one foot in Judgment Day's business and one foot in the women's division. And since it looks like he's headed towards facing Raquel, just based on, like, the camera angles and they kind of focus on Raquel as Rhea was leaving the ring, I think they're headed that way, which I think is kind of a weak match. It would make sense to have her more heavily involved in the storyline element of the Judgment Day possible breakup. So, yeah, that would make sense to have her have a prominent role in that. So, yeah, I'm for that.
And I think they've, John, I think they have a star they can count on with her. I mean, it was evident in NXT that she had a chance to be that. It was, you know, she was pretty overwhelmed when she first got to the main roster. You know, Vince McMahon was not a calming presence for her compared to her NXT experience with Paul Levesque, and she's grown into this role. And yeah, she's shining. And the things you're pointing out, I'm noticing too. I mean, it's just she seems to believe in herself at this point in a way that she didn't, you know, a couple years ago.
Yeah, and I think she's, I mean, she's at the point now where I think she's, you know, must pay attention TV, you know, when she's on the screen, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And speaking of women who might be better in the new regime, I thought that Shayna's promo tonight, you know, Ronda's awkwardness aside, I thought Shayna had a great performance. I thought it was by far the best mic work we've seen out of her on the main roster. And, you know, I'm curious if this could be the beginning of something with her, knowing that Triple H obviously held her in higher regard, you know, from his booking in NXT versus what was happening with her on the main roster under McMahon.
Yeah, I agree. Darren, how about you?
Yeah, I think that was, like, one of her best performances on the mic. I will say that, like, the face paint, though, takes away from it. It's hard to take her serious when, you know, she's out there in the Road Warrior face paint. So I would watch that element. But as far as delivering her lines, and she, you know, seemed to believe the material that she was given. So good job on step one of, you know, making her, you know, dominant solo performer in this feud. So good start.
I thought it was a little yelly, a little Dolph Ziggler-esque for my taste. That was the only thing that I would do is dial down a little bit of my promo better if I'm yelling. I think she could. I mean, if there was a time for it, you know, it'd be now. You're trying to explain your turn. We have an email on that. We'll delve into it a little bit more, too, as the show goes on. But I thought she showed a potential on promos that it isn't a finished product, but there's more there than I think some people gave her credit for. And I'm curious to see more and see her refine that. I think, you know, she looks at how Rhea Ripley's doing. You know, anybody time somebody comes on and is younger than you or has less, I mean, not that Shayna and Rhea are that different, but just roster wise, when somebody gets over, everyone else is like, I want that. How do I make that happen? Even Dominik getting so much heel, he has to, you know, in a weird way, be an inspiration for other wrestlers who were sort of, you know, coasting and thought they had it all figured out. So Shayna stepping up tonight. And you know, if Ronda's leaving soon, doesn't mean she won't be back. But, you know, her time in WWE as a full-time act is coming to an end not too long from now. And so I think the idea is, and I talked about this in the Wade Keller hotline earlier today for VIP members. So I'll leave some of the details for our members. But, you know, this was something, the goal among Shane and Baszler is to leave Shane in a better place after this situation plays itself out.
Yeah. And fair points on the promo. I think, you know, potential for more, but some refinement still needed. Last point I'll just make, since it hasn't come up yet, I thought it was pretty amusing seeing McIntyre and Riddle together backstage. Although I couldn't shake the feeling that, you know, if McIntyre had his way, he'd much rather be putting his fist through Riddle's face than putting his arm around him. But I thought that was pretty amusing and could potentially lead to some good comedy. But I'll leave it at that. Thanks a lot. Happy 4th. Go VIP.
Thank you, John. It's great talking to you. Call again when you can. PWTorch.com/GoVIP. You hear our VIP members. They endorse a product. Join us. Be part of the VIP community. I think you'll like it. All right. We will go next to Kyle in Baltimore, the site of Raw tonight. Kyle, how's it going?
Hey. What's up?
Hey.
I was there today too, so
Yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah, it was really good. My first up go to Raw. I mean, it was really good, actually. It was early up, so I thought, and I was good to be there in person, because it was really cool. So I thought, overall, everyone was hype about almost every single thing they've seen. I don't know if it's because WWE hasn't been in Baltimore for a while, so they were hyped for almost everything that happened. Even the Max Dupree match, we were hyped up of that. I was surprised about how good the match was, first of all, how people were so hyped for it, too. So even that, they were hyped for it. So everything, they were just, in terms of who I thought that got really, like, the big reaction was, at least for me, was Becky Lynch. So she came out, I was like, yeah, it was a big reaction with Becky for me. Dominic came out too, he was booed hard. He did not like him at all. It was crazy to hear it live in person. The boos itself, it's like, wow, this guy does not like. And then when Finn Balor came out, I was kind of surprised about that too. Everything about it was good. I didn't really care, remember everything that happened. You have a question for me about it, or you guys like probably said it from the other caller who was there, but.
Well, yeah, was there anything that Chris conveyed that you, from your perspective, had a different viewpoint on or thought something was a little different than how Chris portrayed things?
When the show started with Cody and Seth and Lesnar, I think all three were super over. When Seth and Rose came face to face, I thought they were going to. I don't know if I was expecting it. I was expecting a match or a tag team match for the main event, not just a regular singles match. Why is Rose out here for a tag match or something? But for them to come. And it was also crazy too, because when Lesnar came out, Seth just disappeared. He was just in the ring and he just disappeared. I don't know where he went. So because one minute he was there, he was gone. And then the whole beatdown with Rose and Lesnar was really crazy. I think it was on Jack and Remy too. By the way, I watch Raw Talk a lot every week, so. I already know who she was, and I think she's really good in her role as a backstage interviewer. Now is going to be, I think, I don't know. I like her in that role now, so I think it's going to be cool to see her week on Raw. So as a team, as Jackie right there as a whole, but yeah, with Rhea and Natalya, I really expected Io to come out and not be backstage. I was kind of disappointed that she was there. It was backstage, not in person for EO. I thought they were going to come face to face, and then they would do a tease and a catch. But I guess they did it with Damian Priest, which was cool too. But I don't remember what else happened. But yeah, that's my 2 cents of what I thought that happened on the show. But overall, I enjoyed it. It was really good. So.
The only other thing I have for you, Kyle, is you've got strong opinions from watching Raw. Were you surprised by anything being in the arena that either changed your opinion on someone or something, or did the crowd reacting to something make you think, yeah, I might not like it, but you know what? That actually is working with everybody else. I might want to look at this in a different way. That happens to me when I go to live events. How about for you tonight?
I don't know. I think I'm super down on Cody Rhodes, and I still think for me it seems like the only thing that gets me hyped is his theme song, and then the beatdown itself was just a cool visual. So I'm still not a Cody Rhodes fan, but if he's there live in person, in that type of situation, I can't help but get excited over it because it's something that's exciting and something that's kind of unexpected when that sort of stuff happens when he's face to face with Lesnar. but I still have to change my mind about Cody Rhodes. Still not a fan, still don't really care to see him as champion, really, but, you know, seeing him live, I can't help but, you know, get hyped when it comes to his theme song, and if he's feuded with someone like Brock Lesnar. If he was there with, if he was feuded with Seth or anyone else on Raw, I wouldn't really care, but it was like, okay, I don't care, go away. But since it was Lesnar, it was such a crazy dynamic, that's kind of what I got hyped for. But actually, everyone else, though, was like, hey, go ahead.
What was that, Kyle? You trailed off. I didn't quite hear your last answer.
Huh?
I guess we lost Kyle. Kyle, you're breaking up on us. So we'll wrap up there with Kyle. But I appreciate hearing from you, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon. Darren, I talked about, we got an email on Shayna Baszler. Jay from New York emailed about this, and I think this is worth elaborating on. Mm-hmm. Is it just me, or did you find Shayna Baszler's reason for attacking Ronda Rousey to be underwhelming? She flushed a 10-year friendship down the toilet because Ronda didn't pay her dues? So Rousey needed to go to Impact for a few years, or maybe wrestles for CZW for a while? Really? That's the best idea someone came up with? I don't know. That felt tame. Thanks, and take care. Yeah, so, you know, John brought up the delivery, and I think there was, you know, room for improvement, but it showed more than we've gotten from her. What I didn't like is the content. If she's supposed to be a babyface or a heel, it didn't work for me. Why did she coexist with somebody who she's resented for 10 years or however long Ronda's gotten, you know, the head start ahead of her? Like, I need to know, did you always resent her and you just were pretending to be her friend? That's not very cool. Or did she do something recently that inflamed that picked the scab of how Shayna felt about Ronda? And we didn't get that. All we got is Shayna going, I had a reason to always hate you. And it just manifested as we were tag team champions after dominating all our competition and hanging out and being friends. Like, it makes no sense. So, I mean, am I missing something? Do you think Jay and I are wrong? Because I've been kind of biting my tongue on this because I knew Jay had emailed about it. But I've got an issue with the fact that she didn't explain why she chose to turn when she did and why she didn't turn sooner.
Yeah, that was a big missing piece of the puzzle, is why you give all these weak reasons that you've known for years. It didn't just come out Saturday afternoon that, it just dawned on me, she never paid any dues. So now you have this big logic hole in the storyline. I expected them to come up with something more creative, that there had been some kind of rift that had been brewing or something, some incident happened recently since they won the belts or something. I mean, it's some easy material you could work with, but they went for the old tried and true, you didn't pay your dues, but there's a flaw in that. So they've got time to kind of make up for it, but I mean, the initial reason did not exactly work.
No, it didn't. So yeah, I mean, again, I'm encouraged by I'm encouraged by Shayna's promo, but I think the writing or the craftsmanship of the backstory was really lacking. And it just didn't fit the timing of everything. One thing we haven't brought up yet is the Miz and Tommaso Ciampa vignette and promos. I find it just like, so cute when Miz tries to be taken seriously. Like, it's hard to watch Miz cut a serious promo, and you're like, yeah, you're really mean, Miz. And then you just want to pat him on the head and go, you know, nice try. So that's how I feel when I watch Miz try to be serious. And I know he fights that, you know, to a degree. I mean, he's had a good career. He's got millions of dollars in the bank. And, I mean, whatever. I mean, he's overachieved. But it's hard to take him seriously as, like, this mean, threatening guy. But that said, he has at times shown some more ruthless aggression. It's an interesting angle for Ciampa. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around. Ciampa's, like, proud that he brought out the ruthless side of Miz, but now he says, I've got a better hand than you, and I still want to beat you up. Like, I'm not fully sure it sunk in with me what they're going for, other than they're going to have an ODQ grudge match next week, and they tried to build it up. What did you think of what you heard from Ciampa and Miz and setting up that ODQ match next week?
Yeah, good delivery by Ciampa. You know, he always makes a good showing, so that was fine. But, yeah, Miz has a little credibility issue because, I mean, he's just the last, especially the last couple of months, has just been run over by everyone from Snoop Dogg to, you know, who knows. So, yeah, now all of a sudden he wants to be play tough guy, and people can see right through it, like, okay, you know, what is all this? I'm a mean guy now. And, like, he had done an online promo a couple of weeks. That was good, but it just doesn't carry any credibility because what happens in the ring, you know, tells a different story. So, yeah, I expect it'll be a good match, but, I mean, for storyline purposes, Ciampa has to win that one, and I don't expect him to go in a different route, hopefully, for Ciampa's sake. But good delivery, good try and everything, but they just have a credibility problem just based on how they booked Miz the last several weeks and months.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else from Raw jump out to you, Darren, that you want to bring up?
No, I think we pretty much hit everything. Looking through my notes, I think we hit everything. They're continuing with the video packages, like for Bronson Reed, which is a good sign for
yeah.
him. Kind of noticed they dropped Johnny Gargano and Vince Cena. So not too great for him, but encouraging for Bronson Reed.
So I was thinking of Gargano, then Candice LeRae, and then that brought me to Nikki Cross. I enjoyed Nikki Cross tonight. Her reaction to Candice saying, "No, I've got Indy Hartwell here. I can't team with you." And then her like crawling on the mat going, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" I have no idea how to explain how Nikki Cross's mind works, but I just get a kick out of her. And I thought tonight was fun, not particularly consequential, but she plays Nikki Cross well. Nikki Cross plays Nikki Cross well. I don't know what category she fits into, but I am, maybe it's a guilty pleasure, but I'm amused by it.
I am too, and they've teased, you know, something going on with Nikki where she was like hiding out and kind of spying and backstage. So I was glad that they brought that back. I want to see where this is going, if indeed it is going anywhere. So I was happy to see that tonight. So it does show me that hopefully we'll see what the storyline is going to be eventually. I'm encouraged.
Yeah. Darren, before we go, tell people what you like that you see in Impact Wrestling these days and what you don't, and plug your reports and VIP show after that.
Sure. Impact is headed towards one of their big shows of the year, and that's Slammiversary coming up this month, I think in a few weeks. And they continue the streak of logical storylines, settling on their big matches and then making logical steps to make them seem like a big deal. One of the matches that they have, though, is the president of Impact is Scott D'Amore stepping back in the ring, and they're focusing a lot of attention on that. He's teaming with PCO to go up against Steve Macklin and Bully Ray, and they were getting a lot of airtime devoted to that. And kind of, it's raised a little bit of an eyebrow for me about why this Scott D'Amore comeback match is getting so much attention, but it's the way they've done it. I mean, the fans are reacting very well towards it, so you can't knock it too much. They've done a great job building up Deonna Purrazzo defending the Knockouts title against Trinity at that event, Trinity being the former Naomi in WWE, and they've done a really good build. Trinity done some good in-ring work since coming into Impact, so we'll find out if maybe she's sticking around, if she wins the belt, see how that goes. And just a really good logical build, a good in-ring action and Impact. It's not the old TNA days. So if you haven't tried Impact in a while, you definitely want to check it out. They've got some good wrestlers over there. Nick Aldis is going to challenge the new Impact champion, Alex Shelley, who after all these years has finally won the world title. And Chris Sabin is going to defend against Leo Rush, the X Division title, and that should be a really good match as well. So give Impact a chance. They're really putting on a good show. They've left a lot of that silliness behind and nonsense, and just put on a good, strong in-ring product. And then you can also check out my reports every Thursday that covers the Impact TV show and pay-per-view reports as well. And me and John Laszlo cover the Impact Wrestling Podcast on the VIP side of the Torch. So check those out.
Yeah, we certainly undercover Impact Wrestling here on the Wade Keller post shows and podcast. So, but we are very glad that Darren and John do the job that they do covering Impact on the website and also on the podcast. So if you're craving more of that analysis and just kind of following another company, or if you're just disgruntled at all, or I don't know how it's possible, maybe you're craving more wrestling and you kind of forgot that Impact's out there, you can find a service that carries Impact and add it to your weekly viewing list, and Darren will be there along with John to provide that that coverage and that analysis and that perspective for you through PW Torch. Darren, always a blast having you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was a blast.
Yes, and happy 4th to everybody here in the United States. Enjoy the holiday, and we'll talk to you Wednesday night after Dynamite.